It's human beings are. It's been, you know, this service has been pretty interesting, hasn't it? Here's what I want you to understand. Your bibliology and your eschatology will fall in line with your theology. That's big time words. Bottom line is your bibliology is Bible study, right? Eschatology, esca, end times, study of, big words. Theology, theos, God, study. But it all pales in comparison to experience. And when you have the opportunity to experience Him, there's nothing that matters about your theology. You know what? It's really true. You don't believe me, just read John chapter 9, where they were all discussing theology after Jesus healed the blind guy. Okay, y'all determine your theology on it. Jesus just healed this blind guy. This guy just experienced it. So what did the guy say? He looks at those guys that were arguing over, which was, you know, the church of the day, and he said, look, man, I don't know why he healed me on the Sabbath. Theology. I don't know who healed me. I was blind. Duh. All I know is, once I was blind, but now I see. So all of the theology, eschatology, pick your ology, pales in comparison to the experience of Jesus. It's pretty cool. That was free. It's not in my notes. So here's what's so cool. Cool, except for it's already here. You know, Thanksgiving's a week from this coming Thursday. Yeah, I'm still in summertime except for the cold. And so this coming Sunday, this next Sunday, is what we have always called Miracle Sunday. Now, even prior to us, we've been here 26 years, but even prior to that, my wife and I always celebrated what we call Miracle Sunday and what we do on Miracle Sunday. And I want to talk about this. I want to give you an understanding, because the biggest question we've ever had over the years, and it's been over 30 years now, is because people are, I don't hide anything. I'm just not one of those guys that do, you know. So what we do is we reverse our tithe. So we give 90% of our income for the week and keep 10% and then pray. No, I'm kidding. God's been, listen, again, this will be 30 some odd years that we've done it, and wow. He just always does, and even in financial ways, he does weird things. In fact, even this week, and it's not even Miracle Sunday yet, I got a free modem from Spectrum because they said it was time to upgrade. Well, it didn't get here, so I called and I said, hey, by the way, it didn't get here. I said, you know, I'm not mad. I'm sure you get yelled at all. I had this lady laughing. I said, I'm sure you get yelled at all the time, but I'm not mad. It's free. I get it. But anyway, through the process of events, she not only, instead of sending me a new modem, she had a guy come install it, because I was going to have to install it and then take the old one and send it back and stuff. And then she just knocked $10 a month off my bill. Just, and I, you know, I can call it Miracle Sunday, I can call it being kind, I don't know. All I know is God over the years has done that. But so the question that people come, they go, I can't do that. And it's like, we're not asking you to do that, silly. You ask me, here's what's so funny, you ask me what I do and I tell you what I do and then you get mad at me? I'm not asking you that. So the question has always been, how much does God want? You know, that's always been the big question over this. And we've heard it all. Listen, we've had family members in the past that rebuked us, you know, because, I mean, when we started this, we had littles, you know, in the house, our little kids, and we still did it, and we would be instructed, you can't do that because you've got a family that you got to provide for. And I understand that. Listen, I'm not throwing rocks. What I'm saying is we had gotten to the place that's what we've determined, and God has, from this day backwards, I cannot tell you that he's ever been not faithful to us. One year I had a credit card company tell me I didn't have to pay my bill that month because I've been a faithful customer forever. Yeah, because you've already messed me up a lot. No, kidding. You know what I'm saying? I've told you the story about the gas card where they made a mistake and I wrote a check for $320 back when $320 was like $8,000 now. And they only charged $32. They misread the check. So Gay called them, tried to set it up. And the girl goes, man, is it okay if we just leave it the way it is? She just won't fool with it. So we're like, sure, do what you want. So how much am I supposed to give? Here's what's really cool to me. Oh, by the way, I'm giving a heads up to you back there. I'm going to jump you know, you have your scriptures all pretty in a row. Well, I messed it up for you again. So just blame me. So I'll tell you which scripture to pull when it's time. But here's what I want you to see. Giving, and outside of anything that you've ever understood, and by the way, those of you who've been here a long time, you know I don't ever rarely teach on giving. I just don't. And I probably should. I just, like, I normally stay with stuff I struggle with. I told you that millions of times. You know, if you hear me teaching on hate all the time, it's probably because I'm trying not to hate people. You get it? You know, and I've never, even in my drug days, struggled with giving, especially in the area of tithing. I mean, in giving, yeah, I never gave. I always tithed. I never gave above that. But, so I don't talk about that much. But here's what I want you to see, especially concerning God. Our giving has always been an expression of love. Not amount, hear me, not amount. But, I mean, I remember back with some of the most precious, when my mom and dad were together, and I was a child, and my dad always got transferred about every 4 years, always at Christmas time, for whatever reason. He was a warehouse foreman for Chevron Oil. So I guess that's when the best time they could fire somebody was or something. I don't know. That's pretty sad, huh? But anyway, we always got transferred then. So it always ended up where we didn't really ever have Christmas. So what happened a lot of years is we would go, they would take us into a store like Sears and say, pick one gift, and that's what you can have. And for whatever reason, the biggest one I remember is I picked a baseball bat, and my sister, Judy, picked a Cinderella watch. I'll never forget that. But so it's not amount, and that's what drives me crazy, especially with people who want to accuse you of trying to get your money or something. Let me stay on this here. So, but it's always been an expression of, here's what I want you to see. This is fascinating to me, because the children of Israel, they didn't really do too good, right? As far as this whole loving God and not complaining and that type of thing. But there was a time when this happened. Let's go to this Exodus 25. You're going to be good for the first three scriptures, by the way. So the Lord said to Moses, now remember, these are these crazy people that could never, you know, we think we would do it right and we wouldn't, but whatever. The Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to bring me their sacred offerings. Accept the contributions from all of those whose hearts are moved to offer them. Don't try to throw scripture out to make people give. Do you get what I'm saying? He's saying, I only want it from those who want to give it. Okay, you get it. From those hearts who are moved to offer them. Now watch this. And all whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord, and they brought all the materials that were needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. And both men and women came, and all whose hearts were willing, and they brought to the Lord their offering of gold and brooches and earrings and ears, not ears. Yeah, here, there's a sacrificial ear there, God. You know, Malchus showed up from the New Testament. No, I'm kidding. Brooches and earrings and rings from their fingers and necklaces. This is all they had. They didn't have a checkbook. You got it. And they presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. You can keep going. And finally, the craftsmen who worked on the sanctuary left their work, and they went to Moses and reported, the people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings, and their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. So if the gift reflects the value of the recipient, then God was extremely valuable to them. But I want you to see something here, because over the years, something changed. The same nation, a different generation, but the same nation. Look at this. The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. And if I'm your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how did we defile the sacrifices? you defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give a blind animal, now let's pause right there, blind animal to sacrifice, you understand they were under instruction. If they were going to have any kind of sacrificial thing to God, it had to be perfect. You get it. That's one of the priest's biggest things, was to look at the lamb or whatever animal it was to make sure it had no defect. So look at this. He says, when you give blind animals a sacrifice, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is. How crazy is that? Says the Lord of heavens and armies. You can keep going. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you, but when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of heaven's armies how I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices couldn't be offered. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of heavens and armies. I will not accept your offerings. So, if the gift reflects the value of the recipient, then God wasn't very valuable to them. Was he? Okay, now is where you're going to have to chase. We're going to chase. You're going to chase. You ready to chase? Go to Romans chapter 12, the one with Romans chapter 12. Here's what I want you to see. We express our love in all kinds of ways, but in one of the ways we express our love is by sacrificial giving. And the Apostle Paul saw this and actually got to live life in this. He's talking to the Roman church, and he says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. We know this scripture. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he'll accept. And when you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? If we would just marinate there for a second. And when I think of what he has done for me, is it asking too much to present myself as that sacrifice? Now, understand the word sacrifice in his understanding is a little bit different than ours. In our understanding, it's about killing the animal. In our understanding, it's about, you know, sacrifice. In his understanding, this whole presentation of me to God. And he says, and think of what he's done for you. What else could he ask? So now let's go from there. We're going to jump to instill in Paul's life to the Corinthian church where he talked to him. In the second chapter of Corinthians, you're doing good, girl. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, isn't it fun how it's dear brothers and sisters? This is for us in here in the church. It's not for those that don't believe in God. Some people give to the church that don't believe in God, by the way, because you get a tax write-off. That might change in a few years, but just so you know. So now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They're being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. They are also filled with abundant joy. Now, wait, how can you poor and be filled with joy? You can't be happy maybe when you're poor. You get it? But you certainly can be full of joy, because joy's got nothing to do with your happiness. Joy is something God gives that cannot be taken away. Joy is that thing that people accuse me of when my daughter died, that I wasn't dealing with her death because I still had joy in my heart. Oh, I was not happy. Love doesn't make you happy. You get it. So they were being tested by many troubles, and they're very poor, but they were filled with abundant joy, which overflowed into rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. This gets me. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers. I have been alive a long time, and I have never had somebody come up and beg me if I had to take their money. Well, I would never have to get to begging, John, because I would just accept it. It's like, would you? What? Would I? Oh, what? So, they begged us for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Therein lies the whole principle of my message today. But what I want you to understand, I want you to understand this whole thing of giving ourselves to God. I wrote something, so I'm going to read it to you like I wrote it. So now God comes to us. Well, let me pause. My headline on this is God's love offering to us was sacrificial. So God comes to us and says, I love you. Well, what does he mean? Does he mean something like this? You mean everything to me? I am incomplete without you. Your personality, your perfections, your amazing wisdom, your inner beauty, your holiness, your inherent righteousness, your smile, everything about you transfixes me. Heaven would be boring without you. I love you. After all, we must be pretty important because God loves us, right? And dear old God would find himself in a horrible state unless we say yes to his love, because after all, he needs us. More accurately, when God says he loves us, he means something like this. Morally speaking, you have halitosis. Your throat is an open grave, and when you open your mouth, you pollute the air. You don't so much as give me the time of day. The only time you come to me is when you need something, and you've been unfaithful with many lovers, and you have an abominable personality. Your sins have made you disgustingly ugly, but I love you. Not I love you anyway, but a straight out I love you. Not because you can bring me pleasure, but because I sacrificed for you, my son died for you, and I value you highly, and I deeply love you. Now you can go to Romans 5. So, Paul says to the Romans, now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, including me, by the way. I mean, you know, I might break my arm for you or something. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still in the midst of being sinners. See, Christ didn't... Sorry, good night. Gay, see what you did? You left it up here. Sorry. Christ didn't die to get a prize. He died to redeem and restore fallen and broken people. Lon Barrett, I read this quote of his and I want to read it to you. It says, God didn't send a Valentine card to a beautiful, nice-smelling, well-kept, blue-eyed blonde. No. He sent his son to die for a smelly, filthy, greasy, muddy, unfaithful, indifferent, knobby-kneed, cauliflower-eared woman with hairy legs, a full beard, and in debt up to her wazoo. He loved a gomer who slept with anyone and everyone and didn't know the meaning of fidelity or personal hygiene. Do you see this? You need to maybe go read that story about Gomer, and it's not Gomer Pyle. It's Hosea, where God instructed him to go marry the prostitute, and he married the prostitute, and she still did her prostitute ways, yet at the end of the story, he goes back and buys her back because God instructed him to. It's an incredible story. I might revisit the familiar with that. That's a great story, but... Here's what we need to understand about this whole thing that he did for us. Oh, sorry, John 3:16, we know this one. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everybody who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And God didn't send his Son into the world to judge it, but to save the world through him. Giving things, and you know, I probably shouldn't share this since Miracle Sunday's next week, but giving things does not compare to giving ourselves to him. And we hear it said a lot, and you know, whether it's shouted from the pulpit or whatever, there's a whole plethora of understanding in that giving ourselves to God. Because what we tend to do is we'll give him pieces. But we'll hang on to the parts that we want to hang on to. I find it interesting in the teaching that I teach that I get attacked for, because God does love everybody. Here's what I want you to hear very clearly this morning. You've heard me teach the prodigal son is actually the prodigal dad, because it was the prodigal dad that absolutely wasted his inheritance on this sorry son of his that came back home, right? But here's what I want you to know. Never at one point in time was his son ever not his son. And we got people out there trying to say that that's how mean God is, that he's going to want to squash you like a bug. No, you're his son, you're his daughter. But the truth is, the son had to come home. Now, on his way, dad went and ran. Dad ran, and his son was ready to grovel and say, God, I did wrong, and just make me a servant. You don't even, and he didn't get to say that because dad was so excited. You get it? But he still had to come home. And that's my heart in this. Had that son given that part of his life to his dad, maybe he never would have left. You get it? I don't want this to spill out. Whatever is like in this area right here right now is just... In the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, the word is kabod or chabad, whatever. But it's anytime you see the glory of the Lord fill the temple, and we've made it for whatever, but the word literally means it's so heavy you can't move. It's just this heavy presence of the Lord. Anyway, that's kind of sidetracked there, sorry, but it's like I feel like I weigh more than I do. God, that's all I need, but. We are foolish to think that giving things to the work of God can take place of giving ourselves to Him. Here's a cheesy example that I'll give, and by the way, I'm pretty much done. Here's my cheesy example. I got married in, 1976. That's right, because it was bicentennial. Right? Bicentennial year. So the country was 200, so now the country's 242 years, because we've been married 42 years. God help her. Anyway, for those of you who don't think it can work, listen. But when I even wrote this down because I didn't want to forget, the day that we were going to get married, our situation was really kind of weird. I've told you all the story. My mother didn't want her to even date me. My mother pulled her aside and told her not to go away from him. So we kind of made it through that, and then, of course, all the people at school. Her dad, when I showed up to meet him, I had broken my foot. So when I showed up to meet him, I was in overalls, barefooted. To meet her dad. And he had already told her. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, I had a fro. Yes, I did. And I was really skinny, y'all, because I was fresh off drugs, like 6 months off drugs, and I looked like a dandelion in a pair of overalls, barefooted, in Arkansas, having been stopped by a local cop that was going to give me a ticket, but her dad called him and said, I know you've been messing around on your wife, and so if you give him a ticket. So I did not get a ticket. This is how we do this in Arkansas. And she's already told me that her dad said, you want to marry a preacher, huh? So, I'm all freaked out. So anyway, I get his blessings because, that's what you're supposed to do, right? I get his blessings. So the day we're getting married, we just got an apartment for after when we got married and stuff. And so here's what I want you to see. Absolute truth story. I had $12 in my pocket and a 1964 Ford Fairlane 500, three on the tree. Do y'all remember that? You old guys, three on the tree. First, second, third, and reverse was up in this way. It didn't have no air conditioning, and we got married August the 14th. Right. That's all I had when we got there. Now, cool thing, you know how they do that little give you money stuff. People end up giving us like around $200 or something. Our honeymoon was staying at this little cheesy place that doesn't even exist anymore. In what was the name of the town? Monroe, Louisiana, where the alligators grow some mean. Monroe, Louisiana, little place there. We eat breakfast and she gets sick at her stomach. So we're driving back from there, and she's sick. And I got no air conditioning, so we're stopping at, well, back in the day it was Stuckey's. We're stopping at every Stuckey's on the way back, trying to get home. I tell you that story to say this. She never complained. Gay never complained in all of that. And I want to tell you why. Because I gave her me. As bad as that might be. And do you hear what I'm saying? I gave her me. And I'll close with this story. I'd read this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great illustration. There was this 9-year-old kid that was taking care of his 5-year-old brother. And the bus pastor, this was like in the hood area, and the bus pastor was doing door knocks, and he knocks on the door, and he realizes that there's a 9-year-old with a 5-year-old and no adults, and he asked, where are your parents? And he said, oh, they leave on the weekends a lot. And so the bus pastor goes, well, then the little guy goes, but you can come in if you want to. And so the bus pastor goes in. Anyway, long story short, the bus pastor shares about Jesus. Have you ever heard, or have you, first he asked him, have you been to the church? And he said, no. He said, well, it's just a couple blocks away. He said, well, no, sir, I've never been. So he said, have you ever heard about Jesus? Well, no. So he explained it to him. Bells and whistles went off in the kid's head, and he got it. And they prayed together, looked, cried and everything. And then the bus pastor says, we want to go to church with us tomorrow. I'll pick you up. And the little guy goes, yes, yes. So next day, him and his little brother get up, and the bus pastor takes him to the church, and they're sitting there, and it came offering time. So offering time, the little kid sees what's going on. You know, they've already been through all this awesome worship and stuff, so, you know, his little heart's prepared. That's kind of what that does, I think, prepares us to understand how great God is. And he obviously didn't have anything to give, so when the plate came by, he kind of held it for a while. And, you know, the usher looked at him like, what are you doing? You know, then he let it go, and they finished their thing. Well, then he just decided. So he shot up, went to the back where the usher had the plate, and grabbed it from him. And he said, God, I don't have anything to give. And then he set the plate down, stepped in it. God wants all of me. My money, sure. Look, I tell people all the time, and it's very true. I know how much God's got a person if he's got their pocketbook. It's just really true, and that's a whole different thing, and it's not about throwing rocks at people who don't give. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. And if you want to know how true it is, look at your checkbook. You're going to see where your heart is. You know, my heart, if I look at my checkbook, thank God there's my heart for him, but there's also my heart for my pickup. You get what I'm saying? And for my electric bill, there's a heart for that, you know. And which, by the way, another miracle. Holy smoke, my electric bill is normally almost $400. You can ask her, almost $400 a month. Miracle Sunday, I just got my bill yesterday, $132. I don't know how that happened, because we ain't sweating in my house. Of course, it's cold now, but you know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's just, and I hate telling financial stories of blessing, because then people view God as that slot machine that you put your little faith coin in or your obedience coin in, you pull a slot and out comes all this money. Look, man, give him all of you and you'll be amazed at how he takes care of you. What good is it going to do if you win the lottery and he doesn't keep you healthy and whole and you die of disease? What good is that going to do? Although I'd like to win the lottery as soon as one of y'all buy me a ticket. I'm kidding. I have bought them before. Just so you know, David, you'll be happy with this. My mother won $13 like 3 days ago on a lawn. She's a winning machine. She plays all the time. This is a true story. She plays, what? I will get there, honey. Let me finish my story. She wins all the time. She wins like at least $2 or $3 just to keep her motivated. Are you mad now? Okay, so I'll make sure. Because you know that does matter. So how much does God want from me this coming Miracle Sunday? He wants all of me. My money, sure. But there's so much more. He wants all of me. All of me. Why not think of me? Yeah. That would make a good song. Thank you. They just told me I couldn't sing. I get it. He wants my thoughts. He wants my emotions, which include my anger. He wants my angst. Angst, you know, is that too big of a word? That's worry, anxiety. You know, there's people who worry too much about being worried too much. He really wants that. He wants all of me. He gave his all. And he wants all. He wants my emotions. He wants my time. He wants my good. He wants my bad. He wants me. He understands everything about me. He understands everything about me. Whatever that dark area in my life is, I can give that to him. It's, who are we kidding to think he doesn't know it's there anyway? Right. He wants all of me. So, I just, here's my last thought. I said, he wants me, warts and all. I mean, sometimes I think I'm a big old frog. And I know I have more warts than most of you because I'm older than most of you. That's why when the dude started throwing, they're going to throw the rocks at the woman. Jesus said, he's without sin, cast the first stone. The Bible says what? They started walking away first to the last, oldest to the youngest. That wasn't an accident. They started oldest to the youngest because oldest had a lot more stuff than the new. Here's all I know. Next Sunday, by the way, for those of you who haven't been, there's no preaching, speaking. We actually let people share their heart concerning how good God has been to them. The whole purpose is for this year, how God has been. And let's be honest, this particular offering will help carry us through the holidays because we do a lot for a church of 200. So that's not the white elephant in the room. What I want you to see is he wants all of us, all of you. Yes, give however you want to give. Yes, it is a financial gift. Yes, it is a financial gift to say, Father, thank you so much for what you have done for me just in this year, maybe for some, just in today. But you are great, and I am not, and that's what makes you so great, because you accept me and love me right where I'm at. I give you me, even though my pockets might be empty. Give him you. Okay, again. Anybody else want to stand up here? It's pretty thick.
You know, I try to write down a title, so I titled this message, Giving Ourselves to God, because that's what you started with. You talked about it being a different generation. I don't want to hear that this is a generation that's turned its back on God. Because we need to be focusing on the fact that there are people who have turned their backs on God, but he still loves them, and we still need to give hope to them. Because the truth is, we're all saved by grace, not by our works, right? And they need the encouragement that we have to give that he loves us. Because the enemy tells them he can't love you because of what you've done. But I want you to know he loves us in spite of what we've done. And the price has been paid for it. But I think it's really interesting today, Veterans Day. They counted the cost before they enlisted. And they didn't even know what they were signing up for. Because when you get in a battle, you can't say, Sergeant, I didn't sign up for this. Yeah, you don't get to raise your hand and go, look, that's not what I signed up for. When we married, I didn't get to raise my hand and go, look, I didn't sign up for this.
At least to God.
No, not that we don't talk. Not that I didn't say, Steve, you know, there was a day where I said to him, you know, look, I don't want to exist. I want to live. I don't want us to just do life. I want us to live because he said he'd give us life and life abundant. You have to have those conversations, but it's because you're looking for the reason to stay and not the reason to go. But every veteran had to count the cost. I want to tell you, we're not wearing uniforms today, but there's a war going on. I want to thank every person who keeps praying for those who are hurting. I want to thank every person who's still believing and you're fighting for somebody who can't even fight for themselves. I want to thank every person in this room because we are in the battle. We are in the fallout between good and evil. But I want to give you some hope today. Nobody in here suffered more than the next person. Steve and I have not suffered more than you have. And you have not suffered more than we have. We all hurt. But the point is, there's somebody who can help us with that. There's somebody who wants to help us with that. There's somebody who's paid the price to help us with that. And when you get in the trenches and you get in the ditches and you realize, man, I didn't sign up for this. That's when you need to lift your hands and go, God, I need your help. I need your help, God. I want you to stand with me if you're needing his help today. And I want you just to release that to the Lord. God, today I need your help. Lord, I'm looking for you. Oh, God, I'm looking for you. God, thank you for those, God, who, yes, have gone before us and fought these wars, God, that I can stand here in America and lift my hands and say I love God. But Lord, I'm praying for those who are still in the middle of battles and struggles today, God. I'm asking you, Lord, to move in with divine reinforcements from heaven. God, you go in those places and do the things I can't because your word says nothing is impossible to you. God, I'm asking you to go before us and behind us because your word says you'll do that and you'll even make the crooked way straight. God, I want to thank you for the victories that you've given us and we take it for granted. I'm thanking you right now for the victories, God, from the past. I'm thanking you right now, God, for victories that are being won. I'm thanking you right now, God, because tomorrow and the next day, you're still doing wonderful things. You're still victorious, God. And may we tune into your voice, God, more than the voice of the enemy. Give us your strength, God, today. Give us your strength so we don't try to do it. Lord, let us use the weapons that you've given us the same way you gave the soldier. Lord, give us your word to stand on. You've given us your spirit to give us strength. And God, give me the love that will not fail. And I just thank you for that, Lord. God, penetrate these places in every heart that's lifted to you today for help. God, love, love, love us until we learn how to love back and receive your love. God, those who are having trouble receiving love, open up that heart space today, God. Invade that place, Lord. Take back that turf and that ground, God, today. We call them home, God. Take that turf back, God. Go back in, Lord, places where the enemy, God, is taken. We're asking you to take back. I'm asking for a miracle before next Sunday. I believe you, God. And I'm believing, God, with everyone in here, God, that there will be, Lord, the love that passes all understanding, God, that penetrates the darkness. Thank you for being a good Father, Lord. We just bless you for that. God, I want to thank you for all the volunteers today, God, who've worked so tirelessly in the children's ministry with our nursery, God, with our children and with our youth, Lord. I thank you for that. I'm asking today, God, that as they go back and have a meal that's prepared for them by the leaders, God, that there'd just be such a spirit of love and unity, Lord, that we would accomplish more for your kingdom, God, and not sit back on what we've done, but look to do more. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. there are some lists in the foyer for those who can help us serve at Thanksgiving. They're not full yet, so if you can help serve in any capacity, we need you to sign that list because it's a week from Thursday.